The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
We will read verses 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away, and they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, as you are taking your seat, I want you to think about the fact that all around you this morning are people who showed up with questions. And not just questions about, will I be able to get a seat? Sorry, cooks. But people with big, hard, hairy questions about life and how it works. People just like you, with questions just like yours, wondering if the Christian faith speaks to those questions. And I believe the answers to those questions are rooted in the Easter claim of an actual event that occurred in actual history. Now, I didn't believe that at all growing up. Growing up, I was an anti-churcher. You know, that guy in your high school who doubted everything, who made fun of you for your faith, I was that guy. I tried the very best I could to talk as many people out of Christianity as I possibly could. And I was convinced there was really nothing dumber than the idea that someone who had been executed came out of a tomb. And then convinced hundreds of eyewitnesses that he was worth following. I couldn't think of anything that sounded more preposterous, more far-fetched, less likely. So what happened that first Easter? Did Jesus Christ actually rise from the grave? And this morning we will look at this by exploring three questions. What happened? How do we know? And why does it matter? What happened? How do we know? Why does it matter? So turn with me to Mark, the 16th chapter, in your bulletin or your Bible or your cell phone. First, what happened? Verse 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" Now notice what it is they're concerned about. The stone. First century tombs were caves with a groove in front of them. You had these large milled stones that would roll down and cover the entrance to keep the stink in and the animals out. Usually chest high, rolled in place to seal them, massively heavy. Three women need help. Verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Now, Mark never mentions how the stone was rolled away. The gospel writers are pretty sparse on flowery language. To quote Joe Friday, "Just the facts, ma'am." That was a reference for the boomers. Everybody younger has no idea. Verse 5, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Now, Mark doesn't say the man is an angel, but he kind of describes one. Again, just the facts. Verse 6, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Now the women are there to anoint a dead body. An empty tomb was not what they had in mind. Jesus' movement was over. The men were hiding, the women on funeral duty. And then he's gone. And the angel points, see the place where they laid him, which brings us to the second question. How do we know? How do we know a missing body is a resurrection? Because there are a lot of ways a body might go missing. Resurrection is the last way we would expect, and was actually the last way that the ladies going there that day expected. Have you stopped to think for a moment, though, that literally the only reason you and I know the name Jesus Christ is because of the resurrection? You know, there were dozens of would-be messiahs trying to deliver the Jewish people from the Roman overlords. And we don't know any of their names because they're dead. The only reason we know Jesus Christ of Nazareth is because the grave couldn't hold him. Now, there are books and books of evidence written on the resurrection. I'm going to just give you two eyewitness examples this morning. The first one was in our 1 Corinthians reading. 500 people at one time saw Jesus alive after he was executed. 500 people in one place. There's about 340 of you here now. 500 people at one time saw him at one place. You know, psychologists tell us there's no such thing as a group hallucination. Second one, on the first day that Jesus' followers start to speak about the resurrection, 3,000 people join the movement that day in the city that had just killed him. All you had to do is go trot down to the grave and drag a body out. The original theory that the authorities had proposed, that the disciples stole the body, wasn't believed in the very place that it happened. One modern theory suggested by author Dan Brown was that Jesus, beaten to the verge of death and nailed to a cross, bounced back in the cool of the tomb. But such a person, if they still had blood in their body, with the eyewitnesses say Jesus did not, but even if he still had his blood in his body, such a person would have been broken and weak, in need of someone to tend their wounds, hardly someone who could ninja kick a 2-ton stone out of the way and convince everyone who saw him that he had conquered death. Now, today we want to think, well, it's a nice metaphor. So it's a lovely story. But metaphor was not what the original people who were there had in mind. No, in fact, the resurrection was such an established fact in the ancient world that their explanation for the empty tomb wasn't to doubt the miracle, it was to doubt the man. The answer of the early world to the empty tomb, and I kid you not, was to question whether or not Jesus was actually a human. The skeptics' theory was that Jesus was an unkillable superhero. Anyone who rose from the grave couldn't be like flesh and blood the way we are. He just seemed like a human. The theory is called docetism. You can Google it. From the word dokeo, which means seemed. Jesus just seemed like a human. And the theory was so pervasive in the ancient world that in about 150 AD, the church wrote the Apostles' Creed. And you know the words of it, most likely. He was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The church had to say Jesus was flesh and blood, really born, really suffered, really died, really buried, real dude. You kind of see echoes of this in Islam today, which still doesn't believe Jesus actually died. But everyone at the crucifixion, everyone, the accusers, the executioners, the crowds in town for the Passover, his family, everyone there said that they saw him dead. All the way dead. Stone cold dead. Which is why Sunday morning, no one expected what they got. No one expected the grave couldn't hold him. Which brings us to my final question. Does it matter? What does it matter that eyewitnesses saw Jesus and kept on seeing him and touching him and talking to him and eating dinner with him for 40 days? And this is desperately important because the whole Christian message is that sin is forgiven and as a result, death is defeated. The early church said that Jesus trampled down death by his death. St. Peter would later write, Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring you to God. Jesus' death, having satisfied the penalty for our sins, is the undoing ultimately of our death. Jesus' resurrected life in the body becomes a pledge, a first fruit, that death need not have the last word on you either. How do you know? Well, look at verse 7. The angel said, but go, tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. Those might actually be the two most awesome words in the entire Bible. Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, denied even knowing Jesus 2 days earlier. Here's Peter, a member of Jesus' inner circle, the one that Jesus said he would build a church upon, but afraid that he's going to be the next one crucified, he denies even knowing the man. And not just once, thrice, loudly, presumably within earshot of Jesus as he underwent unjust trials and beatings. Those words and Peter, they tell you and I that no matter how far we have fallen, how far we have run from God, how far we have turned from God, God has not turned from you. Jesus, victorious over sin and death, left the angel with a message, go tell the disciples and Peter. Now imagine if the disciple would have just said, or the angel would have just said, hey, go tell the disciples that he's not here anymore. And they would have come running to the disciples hiding in the upper room and hey, you guys, Jesus is risen. Let's go. Now, all of us have felt shame. We know that feeling. And if Jesus would have just had the angel, hey, when they get here, just tell them to go, tell them to send the disciples back. I'm pretty sure Peter would have done this. Oh, he's back. Ooh. You guys go ahead. I got some cleaning up to do around here. Things to do. You know, we know that feeling, but that's not the way it went down. Specifically said, the disciples and Peter. And so, friends, you can be comforted that you never have to worry about being good enough or holy enough or faithful enough for God. Friend, don't let the shock of the unbelievable, undeniable, yet historically unavoidable event wear off. A man who claimed to be God walked among us. We killed him, but he took his life back up in a remade body and walked among us again. Of course that blows your mind. It blew the mind of everyone that had hung out with him 24/7 for 3.5 years. How would it not blow our minds? But friends, Easter is not an AI deepfake. It isn't Dune with vague prophecies, some good fight scenes, and a group of nuns spreading rumors. No, this was someone who lived this remarkably public life, teaching crowds, healing the sick, walking on water, and finally coming out of a tomb, seen and touched, gloriously alive, alive like you're alive, alive like I'm alive, only with the marks of the death still in him. How else could 11 scared dudes in hiding grow to more than 3,000 people in a day? How could they grow to over 5,000 the next week? As it says in the book of Acts, they were adding to their number daily. And then it starts accelerating. Luke starts saying their numbers were being multiplied. And it says that again and again. An outlaw faith whose adherents were regularly persecuted and used as lion bait became the official religion of the Roman Empire in less than three centuries. The most powerful empire the world had ever seen conquered with a message. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That was the weapon they used. And that's why I urge you this morning, believe what is unbelievable yet undeniable, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and then picked it up again and promises to all who receive him, even to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So I invite you and all of the other and Peters here, receive him. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's for the 101st time. Maybe it's for the 1,001st time. But receive him. Embrace the one who embraces you. Open your heart and let Jesus, the one the grave could not hold, be your resurrection and your life. And stand as we proclaim the unbelievable yet undeniable, historically unavoidable resurrected one.